Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to James chapter 2. In verse 23, Abraham believed God, and it was counted for righteousness to him. And he was called a friend of God. Without that righteousness, he couldn't have been a friend of God. Those two things work together. Without believing God, he couldn't have been a friend of God. But because he believed God, it was counted to him for righteousness. In other words, right standing with God. And as a result of that, he was called a friend of God. Why is that? Because a friend is going to be somebody who has a like mind. And to be a friend of God, I have to be like-minded with God. Now, I don't always have to agree with my friends, but a friend of God is not a friend of an ordinary person. God is not a man. So friendship with God is different than friendship with people. But the fact of the matter is that friendship does not take place very commonly. Now, a lot of people in the world enter phases in their life where they are simply lonely. Paul certainly had those times. He said that everybody forsook him when things got tough. And so Paul understood loneliness. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Judas had betrayed him and they came to arrest him, everybody ran away. He understood what it meant to be alone in a situation. A lot of people get into these times, and hopefully they don't last for too long, but they can last for a good while, and they're simply lonely. But the reality of the fact is, nobody has to be. Because if no one else is a friend, God will be a friend. Except that that friendship has to be cultivated. It's not like a friendship with a person. Because God is not a man. It's friendship with God. So for a few moments today, we're going to talk about your friendship with Christ, with God. Now, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. If I'm going to be a friend of God, then I'm not going to have a lot of friends in the world. I'm just not. Why? Because most of the world hates God. Proverbs 18:24 says that a man who has many friends must show himself friendly. And on the surface, that seems like, yeah, that's right, that makes sense. If I'm going to have friends, I have to be friendly. And then if I'm friendly, I'll have friends. But that's not actually what it means. The translation is horrible. It says a man who has many friends has to be willing to compromise to have them. And that's a whole nother story. In other words, the Bible is saying, don't be surprised if you don't have many friends. But you do have one friend, and that friend sticks closer than a brother. That friend is the friend you want. If you have a friendship with God, loneliness will not be an issue, even if you're alone. Now, it's normal, it's natural for people to want friends. I'm not saying that these people are wrong. I'm not saying that they're carnal. I'm not saying that they're in sin in any way. But I'm saying that even if I don't have friends, I don't have to be lonely. Because there is always one friend that I can have who desires to be a friend. And when he's a friend, that friendship doesn't stop. Abraham believed God. That was the beginning of his friendship. Abraham believed God. When I believe God, that's the beginning of my friendship. I can't have a friend that I don't trust. I can have somebody I'm ministering to that I don't trust, but then I don't minister to God. God ministers to me. I can have a work relationship, an acquaintance, but it'll never be a friendship with somebody I don't trust. Why? Because friendship is give and take, and though I may give, I'll be hesitant to take. Because I won't trust what that person is giving. I won't trust their sincerity or their honesty in it. And there'll be always a wall of hesitation with another person. A lot of people have trust issues. And sometimes, I think probably often, if a person has trust issues, it's because they've had trust issues with other people. And they assign God human characteristics. You cannot assign God human characteristics. Show me one person who can speak anything into being. I don't care what it is, a cookie. Show me somebody who say, let there be cookie, and there is. God has that ability, except he did it on a universe scale. So don't approach God like he's a human. God sees all points of time simultaneously. He knows the end from the beginning. So don't approach God like he's a human. Don't assign human characteristics to God. Sometimes he describes himself in what we call mononyms. In other words, he'll use human characteristics to describe qualities of God that we couldn't relate to otherwise. And so he'll use these mononyms, and really mononyms are more like comparisons. It's kind of like this, is what God is saying when he uses a mononym. But that doesn't make him a human. Christ was fully human, yes, but that part of Christ where he was emptied of his divinity only lasted for a certain season, about 33 years. Now he is fully one with his divinity and his humanity, as he is in heaven, the God-man, as he takes on the human form, but he is completely in every way God. When you see Christ, just like Stephen did as he was being stoned, just like John did in the first chapter of Revelation, you will see a person. But that's only because he took on a human form. It's not because he is a man. That part lasted in time only 33 years. Now he is fully God. So don't ever think that God has human thinking, that God has human characteristics, that God has a mentality that people have. He doesn't. His thoughts and his ways are infinitely beyond ours in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. You can't relate to him like you relate to other people. If you are saying, well, I've had bad experiences with people, therefore I'm not going to trust God, you don't understand who God actually is. The only one, and I emphasize that, the only one you can fully trust is God. That's because God has no old sin nature. Humans are not perfect, God is. Humans are not love, God is love. Humans are not holy, God is holy. The attributes that God tries to work into humans as he conforms them to the image of Christ are his attributes, but that means that those people do not possess the attributes in and of themselves. They have to be worked into them. And then, because they have an old sin nature, they can only be worked in when that person is in an active fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Don't ever relate to God on the basis of your emotions. That's why people don't trust God. Because they try to relate to God on the basis of their emotions. Often people relate to other people on the basis of emotions. The problem with relating to God on the basis of emotions is God doesn't relate to you on the basis of your emotions. God relates to you through the human spirit. The Holy Spirit is in communion with the human spirit, not with your soul, and the emotions are a part of the soul. God relates to you through the human spirit, that part of you that is enlivened when you become born again. The human spirit communes with the Holy Spirit, and then it imparts to the soul what it receives from the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit does not address the soul, He addresses the human spirit. That's what it means that the deep calls unto the deep. That it's spirit to spirit, not spirit to soul. So if you're trying to relate to God on the basis of your emotions, it's not going to work. Because you're going to try to relate to God as something other than what He is. That's not going to work. It's like people who treat their dog like a baby. If you ever listen to these experts, Cesar Millan's a good one. I like Cesar Millan. He knows how to deal with dogs. And he'll tell you, you don't treat them like babies. They can't handle it. They're not people. They're not children. They're not humans. They cannot handle if you treat a dog like a human. It's not their design. Treat a dog like you're the human, they're the dog, and they're a dog that you love. But they're the human, they're the dog, and then the dog can handle that. Because that's the dog's design. Dogs that act up in the worst way are the ones that are treated like babies. People don't know how to relate to the dog. And he says that the problem with dogs, almost in every situation, is not a problem with the dog, it's a problem with the human. Well, you know what? That's the same thing with God. The problem in our relationship to God is not a problem in God, it's a problem in us. We relate to God according to what He is not. But we want to give Him attributes that He doesn't possess, just like people want to give attributes to a dog that it doesn't possess. And it doesn't work out well. God is not a man, so I can't relate to Him as a man. Abraham believed God. And in believing God, it was given to him, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Why? Because in believing God, he entered into Romans 1:17. The righteousness of God is manifested from faith to faith. The just live by faith. And so Abraham believed God, and it allowed him to take steps of faith. Now, Abraham did not have complete faith from the get-go. Abraham had to grow into faith. I take one step of faith and it produces another step of faith in me. If I refuse to take steps of faith, then any step of faith will be difficult. In other words, I refuse steps of faith in one area of my life and faith in another area of my life will be difficult. But if I simply start taking steps of faith by faith, in other words, okay, God said it. I don't know Him very well yet, but God said it, so I'm going to go with it. Even though God said it, though I have no sight evidence, I'm going to go with it. And then I'll find out that it's reliable, that it's trustworthy, that it can be depended on. What God said, you can count on it. But I don't know that outside of taking steps of faith, which means I don't necessarily have any sight evidence at first. But, just like Romans 5:3-5 says, when I get that experience, it produces a confident expectation called hope in me because I've had experience with God. Then I go to another step of faith, and then another step of faith, and another step of faith, and before I know it, the just live by faith. Now that comes, that ability to take that step, that ability to take the risk, if you will, comes because God loves. In Jeremiah 31:3, he draws us with loving kindness. And it's that loving kindness of God, it's that hope that God will be who he said he was that allows me to take that initial step where I don't have sight evidence, but I'm willing to try believing him. As I enter into that in Galatians 5:6b, I'm going to recognize the love of God, and the love of God is going to give energy to my faith. As the love of God gives energy to my faith, the next step of faith becomes much easier. I'm going to realize, oh, God really does care enough about me to come through for me. God really does love me enough to do what he said for me. God's kindness really is great enough that even though I don't deserve something, he will provide for me, he will protect me, he'll take care of me. But that's not something that I instantly recognize. That's something that I have to enter into. In John 15:14, Jesus said, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." And on the surface, if you leave it at that and take it out of context, you're going to say to yourself, "Wow, some friend." But then he continues, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you." God doesn't expect you to obey him by yourself on your own. You don't have the capacity. But he gives you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit draws you into faith obedience. In John 15:26, "When the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." In John 16:13, "The Spirit of truth guides you in all truth." So when I take that step of faith, I'm being drawn by the Holy Spirit. I'm not doing it by myself, of my own accord, kind of going out on a limb and hoping that the limb doesn't get cut off. I'm going because the Holy Spirit is drawing. And in his drawing, he guides me. And so I'm not on my own in any of this. He's the one who's bringing me into it. When God develops friendship in us, and when we foster our friendship with God, it's because the Holy Spirit is doing the work. We're responding to him. Now, having a working relationship with the Holy Spirit is what enables us to have a friendship with God. Remember, the Holy Spirit is God. So that means the Holy Spirit is imparting something to my human spirit, and my human spirit imparts it to my soul, and my soul responds. The soul will respond. You don't have to worry, will the soul respond? The soul will respond, that's what the soul does. I have to make sure that I'm giving the soul the right things to respond to. And so I don't try to control my circumstances in order to give my soul something to respond to, and I don't try to control people in order to give the soul something to respond to. Because the relationship that I have with God, the friendship, is not based in people or circumstances. It's on the basis of the Holy Spirit's interaction with the human spirit. If I have that interaction going right, then the friendship develops. It's the Holy Spirit who's causing that development. Now, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." Two verses prior to that, he says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. He's not talking about the Ten Commandments, and he's not talking about the 400 some odd laws that Moses gave. He's talking about the royal law of love. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. What I command you to do is love one another as I have loved you. So it's not that I love one another with human love. In Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times. It's that I love with an unconditional love. Natural love is not unconditional. Natural love tries to establish itself on circumstances or the way people are, the way people treat you. I love you if you're nice to me. I don't love you if you're not nice to me. That's not love at all. That has nothing to do with love. That's an emotion. You think your love is an emotion? Well, if it's an emotion, that's what you'll say. I love you if you're nice to me. I don't love you if you're not nice to me. I love you if you do the things I want you to do. I don't love you if you don't do the things I don't want you to do. That's not love. That's an emotion. Never confuse love with emotions. God is love. God is not emotion. And so don't make the mistake that so many people make. They try to build their relationships, especially their relationship to God, on the basis of emotion. That's why trust becomes such a problem with them. Their emotions are in a place where they prevent them from trusting people, and so they assign human characteristics to God, and so their emotions prevent them from having a friendship with God, when God desires with all his heart to have a friendship with that person. But he can't. Why? He's being blocked. You love God the way God loves you. You love people the way that God loves you. Now you have his commandment. He loves you with unconditional love. Love is unconditional. Therefore, it is not emotional. If it was conditional, it would be because it's emotional. The vast majority of people, and even many Christians, have conditional love. Within their friendships, within their marriages, within their families with their children, their love is conditional. I remember years ago, I knew a woman who had confided in me, I wish I had never had children. Because her children, particularly one of them, was being difficult. She didn't love her child with an unconditional love. She loved them with emotions, but it wasn't love. So she didn't like the behaviors, and the love didn't exist. Can you imagine if God says, I love you if you do X, Y, and Z. I love you if you behave. I love you if you are perfect. We'd never be saved. I love you if you don't say things that I don't like, if you don't do things that I don't like, then I will love you. Well, good luck with that one, buddy, because you're never going to have love. If love is based in emotions, love will not exist. Even though people think it's emotional. Why? They confuse love and affection. God doesn't say he has affection for you. God so loved the world, but he hated Esau. Loved Jacob, hated Esau. Why did he love Jacob? Jacob was a cheat and a conniver. Hated Esau. Why? When it says that he hated Esau, he still loved him enough to die for him. He didn't appreciate the fact that Esau would trade his birthright, that which God had prepared for him, for a bowl of soup. He didn't appreciate the fact that Esau had so little regard for the things of God and for God's call on his life that he'd give it away for something trivial. That he hated. But he died for Esau anyway. But that he hated. It wasn't emotional, God's love. Our friendship with God is not based on emotions. Our friendship with God is based on the fact that we do what He commanded us. What did He command us? Love with unconditional love. And therein is the reason why many people don't have a friendship with God. They don't love with unconditional love. They don't love God with unconditional love. That's why they say things like, I don't know if I can trust God, or God didn't come through for me, or make any form of accusation against it. Well, God didn't answer my prayer. Then you're loving with conditional love. That's not loving God or loving anybody else as God has loved you. It's as God has loved you, unconditional love. Now, God's attitude toward you doesn't change. But if you want to have a friendship with God, not simply be the recipient of a ministry from God, but to have a working friendship with God, you have to do what He commanded you, unconditional love. 2 Corinthians 5:16 says, hereby we know no man after the flesh. We once knew Christ after the flesh, but now we don't know Him that way anymore. It's not talking about knowing people, or Christ for that matter. I don't know why people say, well, you don't know people according to their flesh. Their flesh is like this, yes, but you don't know them that way. First of all, it's a silly statement. And second of all, what flesh, what old sin nature does Christ have? He didn't have an old sin nature. That's one of the reasons why He had to be born of the seed of the Holy Spirit. The conception in Mary was caused by the Holy Spirit as He implanted into her, in a very practical sense, DNA that was divine. We don't know people, including God, through our own old sin nature. Our old sin nature is not used to establish our relationships. But many people want to establish a relationship on the basis of their old sin nature. It doesn't work. And then they demand that their old sin nature be satisfied. And if God doesn't satisfy their old sin nature, they'll say, I can't trust God, or God doesn't love me, or God doesn't answer prayer. Or if another person doesn't, they'll demand that the person does. And if they don't, they say, well, we don't get along well. We don't have a good relationship. You're not satisfying my old sin nature. Love there is conditional, not unconditional. If I have conditional love, I have love that's sourced in myself. Conditional love is always sourced in self. Unconditional love is something that I receive from God. And so if my love is sourced in self, it's always going to be a self-oriented expression that I call love, and I'll like you, I'll have affection for you so long as I get what I want. And if I don't get what I want, I'm no longer going to be patient, I'm no longer going to be kind, I'm going to seek my own way, I'm going to think evil of you, and all the other stuff that 1 Corinthians 13:4 through 7 says, I'll just turn it around on its head and go backwards. If I'm approaching God out of a mindset of self, then my relationship to God will be highly unstable. In James 1:8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You cannot have one eye on self and the other eye on Christ. You'll be unstable in everything. You cannot say, I have to get what I want, and I have love at the same time. That will leave you highly unstable. Love by its nature requires you to look out from yourself, not into yourself. If you want a friendship with God, you have to look out from yourself. Away from yourself, not through the filter of self. Now, that's not going to make a lot of sense to people, and some people will find it very difficult to apply. Why? Because self has been trained as your filter. The old sin nature can't get away from self because it's rooted in self. That means you have to turn away from your old sin nature. That's why it requires faith. Trusting God, believing God, which comes from the hearing of the Word of God in Romans 10:17. And when I believe God, I have righteousness, and then I can have a friendship with God because I've looked away from self. If I am the center of my relationship, and my relationship to God is all about how things go with me, how I get what I want, how circumstances affect me, how God responds to me, God's not designed to respond to you. You're designed to respond to God. You didn't create God. God created you. But we act like we create God. So humility is required for friendship. A friendship with God is the most precious thing you can have. Why are people lonely? Because they're lacking this friendship. I'm not saying that they don't have doctrine. I'm not saying that they don't know Him. I'm not saying that they don't love God in the capacity of a natural man. I'm saying because they don't do exactly what He has commanded them, love with unconditional love, that friendship doesn't become a reality in their life. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to the natural man. He can't receive them. He can't know them because they're spiritually discerned. The natural man cannot know the love of God. Now, here's the thing. The love of God and Christ and truth are all one. In John 4:8, God is love. In John 1:14, God is the Word of God. In John 17:17, the Word of God is truth. The love of God and the Word of God, truth, are all one. I have to have love and truth in order to have a relationship with Him. And His love is not conditional. His love is patient and kind. Patient and kind necessarily requires that it is not conditional. You can tell a person who tries to love with conditional love because patience and kindness will at best be sporadic, but never a foundation. If I'm approaching anything with a double mind, I will not have anything. In Genesis 27:2, Jacob went near to Isaac his father. Now, Jacob was tricking him a little bit. Jacob knew that Isaac couldn't see well. And Jacob went to steal his brother's blessing. Jacob went near to Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, But the hands are the hands of Esau. Esau was a hairy guy. And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed them. He took animal skins, put them on his hands so they would feel hairy to his father who couldn't see him. And his father, though he had heard the truth, it was Jacob's voice, he heard the truth, yet he could not recognize the truth because he evaluated by the way things seem with natural senses. If I try to evaluate truth on the basis of natural senses, I'm never going to recognize the truth. I'll hear it, but it'll never become truth to me, and I won't respond to it. He was convinced by the feel of the hands, not by the voice of truth. He knew it was Jacob's voice, but he was going by the natural senses. It's like that with God. I can hear God's voice, but I don't know Him if I'm going into a relationship with Him in natural thinking, in natural evaluation. The only way that I can do that, the only way I can get beyond that, is unconditional love. Unconditional love is what allows faith to function. If I have unconditional love, then I will have love for God and for people. If I walk in natural reasoning, natural thinking, natural senses, I won't have love for either one because it'll all be based in emotions. And if you read the definition of love in 1 Corinthians 13:4 through 7, there's nothing in it about emotions. They are not relevant. In 1 Corinthians 13:10, when that which is perfect is come, when that which is mature is come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. When we mature into unconditional love, we stop thinking like children. In order to be a friend of God, I've got to stop thinking like a child. It can't be about me and still have a relationship with God, still have a friendship with Him. In Matthew 6:22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is single, the whole body shall be full of light. And in John 8:12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I'm the light. If my whole thinking is filled with Christ, filled with the Word of God, filled with the love of God, then I have light. If I have light, then I can have His friendship. So if my mind, my frame of reference is Christ, then love will be present because Christ is love. If love is my frame of reference, then I can have a friendship with God, but it cannot be conditional because God's love is unconditional. Don't ever think to have a friendship with God on the basis of your emotions. Your emotions have no connection to Him. Your emotions can respond to what the Holy Spirit imparts to the human spirit, and then the human spirit passes it on to the soul. Your emotions can respond to that. But your emotions don't have any direct connection to God, including a friendship. They will respond to anything that's present, especially that which is present in your mind. If you're double-minded, then your love will not be unconditional. I pray in Philippians 1:9 that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and discernment. This is how I enter into unconditional love. Now, knowledge there is the word epinosis. Normally, knowledge is simply doctrine, but epinosis is different. Epinosis speaks of a experiential knowledge. So what Paul is saying is, I pray that your love abound in the application of doctrine. That's how love becomes unconditional. I apply the Word of God in the practicalities of my life, and I don't apply it based on my circumstances, based on people, either their initiations or their responses to me, based on my experiences with either circumstances or people. I apply it on the basis of faith. And that's where it becomes righteousness. That's where a friendship with God is produced. But if I try to apply love on the basis of knowledge, even if I'm trying to apply doctrine on the basis of knowledge that is rooted in self, that is to say, at the good side of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, or for that matter, at the evil side, it's just the tree of knowledge of good and evil, then I'm always applying double-mindedness to the knowledge I possess. The mind of God is not the mind of a man. If that which is infinitely beyond something else tries to connect, then that connection can't be made. If something is on the other side of the universe from me, how am I going to connect to it? I don't connect to it. And God says, that's not going to happen. But what I can do is believe Him. I can choose to trust Him, but not if I'm looking at myself. But if I'm looking at the love of God, oh, absolutely I can make that choice. And if I make that choice, then He says we have a friendship going. If you want to be a friend of God, love unconditionally. It's simple as that. If you want to be a friend of God, love unconditionally. If you want to have that relationship, you want to have that constant ongoing friendship, and a friendship is a very practical thing. A friendship is not a theology. It's a relationship that involves give and take. I give something to God, God gives something to me. What can I give to God? Well, David said, I give Him my heart, my frame of reference. And He gives something to me. Everything. But if you want to have a friendship, and if you're lonely, you need a friendship. The reason why you are lonely is because you have a sense of being alone. But even if you are alone, as far as people go, you have the option of never being alone, because God will always be a friend if you want Him to. If you're willing to cultivate your friendship with God, you'll never be lonely. Because you'll never be alone. God communicates. God loves. God is practical. God shares His heart. God shares His thoughts with you. God will show you what's funny. I'll never forget that time when my wife was driving early in the morning to work. And she was driving up a hill and she was talking to God as she was driving. And she asked God, "God, what makes you laugh?" And as soon as she got to the top of the hill, she found this row of ducks walking along the middle line. And she came up behind the ducks and they're all waddling with their little wagging tails. Cracked her up. Why do you think he did that? Because he talked to her. He answered her. If you have a friendship with God, God will talk to you. He'll be your friend. If you have a friendship with God, God will be present. Every bit as much and actually much more so than a person can be. God already never leaves you or forsakes you. So if you have a friendship going with God, cultivate it. Keep it cultivated. Keep it going. Keep doing that which He has commanded you. And you'll never be without God in a very practical sense. I don't mean positionally. Positionally, you cannot be without Him if you are saved. But practically, some people live their life without Him, even though they are saved. You do what He commands you. You love unconditionally. And that friendship takes place. Then you talk to Him, He'll talk back. God, what makes you laugh? And He shows you. God, what's on your mind today? He tells you, God, this is my issue. This is what I'm going through. This is what I'm thinking. And He listens to you and He answers. Because you've cultivated a friendship. If you want a friendship with God, build a friendship with Him. It's not hard. It does take humility, but it's not hard. In John 15:5, He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Galatians 5:22, that means much love. In verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you desire and it'll be done for you. That's friendship. In verse 9, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. That's the result of friendship. You are my friends if you do what I command you. This is my command. Love unconditionally. If you do that, you'll build your friendship with Him. Amen? If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me so I can have eternal life with you." Amen.